We only have, can believe it or not, four commandments, and we're done. So today we'll do those four commandments, and then we'll talk about the overall study, and I'll pass out these sheets. Kind of sad, actually. I estimated it was over 100 hours of work, easy, because it was just going through making sure we didn't miss one and making sure once we hit one that we got all the verses for it. But I think it'll benefit all of us to have this to pray over. But one of the commandments that I missed and found when I got here to Jude is this word zeal, or being zealous or fervent, one of the virtues that we should have. So notice here in Romans 12:11, the Bible says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Somehow I missed that word fervent, but it came up again later. So we're going to study this commandment that God wants us to be fervent or zealous in our Christianity. So what does it mean to be zealous?
Well, I got none. Can you tell me?
Okay, Jan. So anybody? What does it mean to be zealous? Any thoughts, Kevin?
Enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic. That's a good word. Any other thoughts? It was
committed.
Yeah, exactly. In other words, Jesus talked about being cold or hot or lukewarm, right? So being zealous is being hot, on fire for God. Amen? So let's look at some scriptures on this trait. So Brother Scott, Galatians 4:18. Howard, Colossians 3:23. And Philip, Titus 2:14. And Beryl, Jude 3. And Mark, Revelation 3:19. So this is the commandment to be zealous or fervent in our Christianity. So, Brother Scott, Galatians 4:18.
But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you.
So, zealous. Colossians 3:23, Howard.
And whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men.
So, that word heartily, it means with all of your heart. Titus 2:14. Zealous of good works. And then Jude 3, Beryl. So that word earnestly, same meaning, earnest, zealous, fervent. And then Mark, Revelation 3:19. So Jesus here speaking to the church, specifically the Laodicean church, and he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous and repent. So be zealous. Jesus wants us to be zealous Christians, and that is one of the virtues or traits that he wants us to emulate. So that is a commandment we kind of missed along the way, but we just caught up. Any thoughts or questions about that? We're in 1 John next, chapter 1. All right, so 1 John, nothing new popped up except this one, which is one of the most important commandments for Christians, one of the most important principles for Christians, and that is, I call it keeping short accounts. But the command is to confess our sins. So notice 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So this command to confess our sins, 1 John was written to Christians, and we as Christians are to confess our sins. This has nothing to do with going to heaven, but it does have to do with maintaining that sweet fellowship with our Lord, because sin separates even for God's children. So we must confess our sins, and thankfully he is faithful and just to forgive them when we do. So beautiful command for us there, number 163, to confess our sins. Any thoughts or questions about that very important command?
I already confessed my sin because I love God so much.
Thank you, Jan. And then 2 John chapter 1, one command in this book that we need to cover. Verses 10 and 11. So look what it says. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You might say, what's this have to do with? Well, this is a very important commandment for Christians. And what it's saying is when the Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, yes, witness to him, but do it on the porch. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Don't let him in your house or her. Don't let them in your house. And don't bid them Godspeed. In other words, as they leave, they're trying to drag people to hell because they're already going to hell. Don't say God bless you because they're going to hell and they're trying to take others to hell. They're trying to spread false doctrine. So God says don't bid them Godspeed either. So a very important command and one that we all need to be careful to follow, that if somebody comes and they're spreading false doctrine, don't let them in your house. Just witness to them on the doorstep if you feel led to witness to them, and that's a wonderful thing if you do, but just don't let them in the house. So go to Galatians 1:8, where the Bible makes it very clear that this is something very important to the Lord, because obviously his truth, his word is number one, amen? And when people are trying to spread false doctrine, God uses a very powerful word here, Galatians 1:8. Jackie, would you read that for us? Galatians 1:8.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
So God wrote that, let him be accursed. So who does God say this about? Those who preach any other gospel. There is only one gospel. Amen? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ that died for our sins and rose again. He says if someone is preaching another gospel, in other words, a gospel that might include works to get to heaven, or a gospel that pushes Jesus Christ out of the picture, let him be accursed. That's what God says. So we're not to let them in our home, and we're not to bid them Godspeed. Yes, Jackie. We do.
We should then say God bless to non-Christians?
It's not saying non-Christians. It's saying people that are spreading false doctrine. So there's a difference. Non-Christians aren't spreading false doctrine. Well, most of them aren't. Obviously, people that come to your door are non-Christians if they're not teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that they're a different category. They're people that actually have come to specifically, as it says there, to bring a different doctrine. They're specifically there for that purpose. And those are the people we need to not say God bless. But a friend who's unsaved, they're not trying to convert you to some false teachings. We want them saved. Amen? Any other thoughts or questions? Very important command. Yes, Rachel. Yes, and we want God to bless the whole world, right? That's why Jesus died. But we just specifically single out those who are spreading false doctrine. Most unsaved people are not doing this. They could care less, right, about doctrine or about anything. It's the people that believe they are the only ones, typically the cults. And we don't need to list them, but people who basically teach if you're not part of their group, then you're not in the in crowd and you're not going to heaven. Which Christianity isn't like that, are we? We believe anybody's going to heaven as long as they trust Christ. It doesn't matter what church they go to or what they claim to be. It all comes down to Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life.
That's true.
So there's only one gospel, and that's God's gospel. through his son, Jesus Christ. Any other thoughts or questions? All right, so Jude, our last commandment, Jude 3. And that is to earnestly contend for the faith. Notice he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." So what's Jude telling us there? To earnestly contend for the faith. It kind of ties in with the one we just looked at, doesn't it? What does it mean? Stand up for the truth. That's exactly what it means. We have to stand up for the truth. We have to contend for the faith. And as things continue to get worse in the world, and they are, this is going to become even more critical, isn't it? As more false teachings come out and as the world turns on Christians. We have to earnestly contend for the faith, stand for what's right. And that's a command for us as Christians. Interesting, that's the last one here in Jude 3. And that's number 165. So what happened was there were 165. I took out the ones that were specifically to the church for the one I'm going to hand out. Now, there's ones that affect us as far as us going to church and that sort of thing. I kept those in, but I took out the ones that were to the church as a body, because those are to the church and are covered like in our Constitution and so forth. The rest, I tried to organize the best I could, so only six pages. Kind of heart-wrenching after 31 weeks, only six pages. But anyway, there were 1,400 references that we started with for the 156 commandments. So then I rearranged them by books so that I could count for multiples and try to figure out if there were books that had a lot more than others. So some trivia for you. 80% of all the commands are in five books of the New Testament. Isn't that something? That's only 80%, but still that's pretty high for just five of the 27 books. So, anybody want to guess what books fall into those five? You don't have to, but anybody want to take a guess? What's that? All four Gospels, you mean? No. And not Acts? We're getting there, Jan. We're getting there. Romans is number one. There's more commandments in Romans than any other book in the New Testament. How about that? And then number two is 1 Corinthians. And number three is Matthew. And number four is 1 Peter, believe it or not. For such a small book, that's a lot of commandments. And number five is Ephesians. So those five books, Matthew, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and 1 Peter, just those five books contain 80%. Of the 156 commandments that are on this sheet. So to even more, some more trivia for you, over 50% of the commandments are found in five chapters of the New Testament. So I forget how many chapters are in the New Testament. There's about 300 of them. Half of the commandments are found in five chapters. So I'm not going to ask you to guess. But the top three are Romans 12. So most of us know the first two verses, right? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's a good chapter if you want to know a lot of commandments. A lot of commandments. Over 30 commandments in Romans 12. Galatians 5. And Colossians 3. All three of those books. Or chapters, sorry. Just those chapters. And then Ephesians 4 and 5. So those five chapters contain over half, like 55% of all the commandments are just in those five chapters. So that's kind of interesting, isn't it? What is I did, Brother Rex and Jim, why don't you guys pass these out for me? One side. So as they pass these around, I took the 156 commandments that we have studied over the past 30 weeks. and tried to organize them by topic, if you will. I took out the verses but left the references to save paper, obviously, because this the 80 pages is now 6 pages. But I think you'll find it a real help and a blessing. The way that they're grouped is obviously the way I chose to group them, so that's definitely not infallible. And you can regroup them if you'd like. If you want a digital copy, just text or email me and I'll send you a doc version. I think it's a great thing to pray over now and then and say, Lord, show me where I'm falling short of the 156 ways. So let's go through this for a few minutes and make sure we understand it. See if you have any questions, and then talk about next week. The two verses that I referenced at the top, John 14:15. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. So guess what? We just did a 30-week study. Now we know what they are. So now we have no excuse. Now we're accountable. Sorry about that. So now you know what the 156 commandments are that you're commanded to keep if you love Jesus. The second verse I referenced there is 1 John 5. Thank you, gentlemen. It says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So Jesus equates loving him with obeying him, and now we know the 156 ways that he wants us to obey him. Okay? So let's just walk through this. If you have any questions, raise your hand. So obviously I put that at the top. Number one, get saved. The rest are a waste of time if you don't follow that one. Amen? And then get baptized. Then pray. Pray is a big one. Pray and fast. Lots of references there. Then trust the Lord and have faith. And under that we have know God's will and don't depend on our wisdom but on his. Then I had a category on God's Word. It's to abide in us. We're to be receptive to it. We're to learn of Jesus. We're to be grounded. We're to resist the devil. We're to study God's Word. We're to examine ourselves in light of God's Word. Contend for the faith, which we just talked about. And don't receive false teachers into your home, which we just talked about. And don't put yourself under the bondage of the law. So any thoughts or questions about God's Word? Very important for Christians, obviously. And the next one, I just called Jesus first. I couldn't come up with another topic there, but love God above all else. Put his kingdom first. Follow Christ. Look unto Jesus. Abide in Christ. Seek heavenly things. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Only glory in him. Do all to his glory. Don't fear man, but fear him. Praise him. Don't tempt God and commit all of our plans and goals unto the Lord, which we saw in James recently. Next one I called walk in the Spirit. Bear fruit, yield unto God, renew the mind, put off the old man, put on the armor, put on the new man, die to self, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, put your spiritual gifts to use, redeem the time, run the race, walk worthy, walk circumspectly, live God's peace, be of good comfort, rejoice when you're tempted, endure temptation, and sing, and confess our sins, and endure chastening. Have you found one yet that you don't keep 100%? Silly question. Next is we're to be a witness. Lots of verses there. Next, we're to give. Lots of verses there. Then we're to serve God. In other words, we're to be faithful. So we're told not to be idle. We're to be faithful. We're to watch. We're to be awake. We're to do everything heartily. We're to hold fast our profession. We're not to serve to please man. And we're to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ very carefully. Then I call this next one, love one another. So remember, love is action. So how do we love one another? As we see, our love's not to be feigned. We're to forgive. We're not to have evil for evil. We're not to judge. We're to meet each other's needs. We're to serve each other. Have peace one with another. We're to be hospitable. We're to have empathy. We're to have unity. We're to condescend to men of low estate, help our weak or fallen Christians, don't cause them to stumble, edify and exhort one another, salute one another, don't take Christians to court, don't give offense, mind your own business, comfort one another, and don't hate one another. It's a big category, isn't it? Treating one another. The virtues, that's pretty obvious. These are traits that God wants us to emulate in our Savior. Holy, meek, humble, compassionate, quiet, temperate, good, kind, zealous, joyous, patient, content, long-suffering, gentle, unmovable, brave, strong, forbearing, thankful, tender-hearted, and sober. Anybody here keep all of those? That list in itself would keep us busy for years, wouldn't it? Then sins to avoid: lust, blasphemy, the tongue, evil thoughts, deceit, lasciviousness, the evil eye, defrauding, hypocrisy, fornication, homosexuality, malice, envy, contentions, self-deception, rioting, drunkenness, covetousness, hatefulness, anger, and a hardened heart. There's another couple of years to keep us busy. The other next one I just called the world. We're told to not be conformed to the world. We're told to hate evil, to abstain from appearance of evil, to choose godly friends. We're not to yoke with unbelievers, and we're to serve our earthly masters as unto the Lord. Then the Ten Commandments is obvious. They're just repeated there in order as they appear in Exodus 20, except for number 4, of course, which is not in the New Testament. Then the family ones: a man to provide for his family. Husbands are to love and honor their wives. Wives are to submit to their husbands. They're to meet each other's needs. No divorce except for fornication. Honor your parents. Fathers, don't provoke your children, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't hinder children from getting saved. Children are to obey their parents. Women are to be modest. Younger women are to guide the house, love their husbands, discreet, chaste, keepers at homes, meek and quiet spirit. Aged men and aged women. And church: don't forsake assembling, flock to be a blessing to the pastor, obey the pastor, and don't accuse an elder. And lastly, obey your government and pay your taxes. There's your 156 commandments. Thoughts or questions? I learned so much in this study. I hope you did too. You know, when we hear that word commandments, most people of the world think 10, don't they? 10, 10, 10. Well, we have a few more than 10.
When did the New Testament start? Jan wants to know.
I'm sorry, Jan? Who?
When did the New Testament start?
Well, the events of the New Testament, of course, started with the birth of Jesus Christ.
Well, I thought I'd ask.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It was actually not finished or written until about 100 A.D., okay? No problem. So, thoughts or questions? Ideas? To pray over it? Amen? Good prayer guide? Yes, Vinny?
I was just thinking, for an unbeliever, it would be so overwhelming.
Absolutely.
But to someone who's saved, it becomes natural over time as, you know, when our minds are transformed and
well, that verse at the top there, 1 John 5:3, the last part of the verse says, His commandments are not grievous or heavy. So God said that about His own commandments. Well, guess what? God created us. So He knows what we're made of, and He knows, as it says in Proverbs 20:19, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. He knows that the way to find true happiness, which the world scrambles to try to find, is through obedience. So it's not only the way that we say, I love you, to God, through our actions, but it's also the way that we find true satisfaction in life is as we're obeying God's commandments. Because God knows, again, what we're made of. And so He knows that it brings true happiness when we're living the way He intended for us to live. And this is the way He intended for us to live. by following these commandments. So they're not heavy, they're not grievous. As Jesus said, my burden is light in Matthew 11. But that's a very good comment. Yeah, don't go handing this to your unsaved friends. They don't need this. They only need the first commandment. Amen? Be saved. That's the only one that matters to the unsaved, is they need to be saved. If they were to see this, they would, again, they would think it was a bit overwhelming. They would think that's too many. I don't want to get saved because I don't want to have to obey all those commandments. But once we're saved, well, we're going to heaven. Amen? We're God's children. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But he said, and if you want to have a really happy Christian life, satisfaction, do these things. Live this life. And so he's given us so many beautiful guidelines on how to live, which is great. And because there's so much here, it means we get to spend our whole lives trying to get there. If there were only three, or even 10, it'd be easy to say, well, I keep all 10, like the young man that came to Jesus, remember? And he said, well, I keep all 10 commandments. So I'm all good. Which is what the Pharisees thought too, right? If I can just keep the 10 commandments, I'm going to heaven. Well, and all the jots and tittles that they added, of course. But anyway, other ideas, thoughts, questions? Beryl. That's exactly right. Ephesians 1:6, we are accepted in the Beloved. We're going to heaven. The devil can't change that. Sin doesn't change that. Because the day we got saved, Colossians 2:13, he forgave us all trespasses. Amen? So the two are not connected. Remember that. Salvation in heaven is over here. Obedience is over here. They're separate. Remember that. If you choose to live a life of disobedience, you'll still go to heaven, but God's going to chastise you and try to bring you back to obedience, just like we do with our children.